As we come to Job chapter 24, Job is in the midst of his reply, and he especially seems to be addressing his address to God. Now, last week we noticed that Job, in his reply, is perplexed. The dictionary defines this term, perplexed, in this way: to make a person uncertain, doubtful, hesitant, confused, or puzzled. If you're perplexed by something, it confuses and concerns you because you do not understand it. Here's an example of something that might be perplexing to some of you. If I said, by way of a statement, that my first grandchild is not my oldest grandchild. Now, that may be perplexing. What's he talking about? I mean, usually, isn't your first grandchild your oldest grandchild? But for me, that's not the case. My first grandchild is not my oldest grandchild. So you look a little confused and say, what is he talking about? What's going on? Well, that's something of Job's state of affairs. Job finds himself in a state of being perplexed, especially by what he sees taking place around him. You see, Job knows that God is in control of all things. So what confuses Job is this: why is the righteous, namely himself, going through such calamity and hardship, while the wicked seem to be prospering? Why is that happening? Why are bad things happening to righteous people and good things happening to wicked people? He looks around and that's what he sees. Now, Job has already answered or addressed the first part. Why do bad things happen to righteous men? He's dealt with that in chapter 23, and we took that up last week. Now this morning we take up the second issue. Why are the wicked allowed to go on living? Why are the wicked allowed to live their lives without being punished, without going through difficulty? Why is that the case? Or, as Derek Thomas expresses in his commentary, these words: the wicked are prospering. Cruel and greedy men, therefore, roam the land unchecked. And Job is perplexed. Job is puzzled as he looks at what seems to be the inactivity of God in bringing judgment upon the wicked. Why are the wicked getting away with their evil deeds? And why is God inactive? Why doesn't God do something? And so Job begins by asking what is at the heart of his confusion. Look there at verse 1, chapter 24. Why are the times not stored up by the Almighty? And why do those who know Him not see His days? When is it that God will bring judgment upon the wicked? Why isn't God showering down punishment upon evil men that live around us? When will God punish wicked man. You see, back in chapter 15, Eliphaz was speaking about the wicked, and he claimed he knows the day of darkness is at hand. But Job's like, where's this darkness? I don't see it. They seem to be living their lives quite well. Zophar in chapter 20 speaks about the day of God's anger, the day of God's wrath. And Job's looking around and he's seeing the wicked man and he's saying, well, where's this wrath? Where's this judgment? I don't see it. It's not happening. They seem to be getting away with their evil deeds. Job looks around at the evil that is taking place and sees men getting away with it. The ESV translates verse 1 of chapter 24 this way: why are not the times of judgment kept by the Almighty? And why do those who know Him never see His day? Why is it that we who are righteous never see the wicked punished? And so now in chapter 24, Job makes three observations as he contemplates this confusing and puzzling and perplexing issue. He makes three observations as he contemplates the confusing issue. Now, as we look at verses 2 to 17, different commentators and different preachers open them up under different headings. Some believe that Job is setting before God the activity of the wicked, first of all, in the country and then in the city. Or some say that Job points out the wickedness of man, first of all, by talking about those things that may be acceptable, but they're evil, and those things that are just outright grievous sins. I've chosen to note together, first of all, the fact that Job observes the action of oppression. Job observes in verses 2 to 12 the action of oppression. In the first 12 verses of chapter 24, Job gives us graphic images of oppression. And Job looks around and he sees the activity of the oppressors, and he sees how wicked they were, and yet they seem to be getting away with it. The righteous God isn't doing anything. Now, as we think of the actions of oppression, first of all, Job gives us the details of the oppressed. He sets before us the details of what some people are going through. Look at verse 2. Some remove landmarks. They seize and devour flocks. They drive away the donkey of the orphans. They take the widow's ox for a pledge. They push the needy aside from the road. The poor of the land are made to hide themselves altogether. And then go down to verse 9, because he tells us something else that's going on. Verse 9, others snatch the orphans from the breast, and against the poor they take a pledge. Here's some of the things that Job sees going on. He sees some people moving landmarks, boundaries. It's as though I own a big piece of land, And we have these markers that says, this is my piece of property. But next to my big piece of property, there's a guy and he's got a little bit of land. And so, you know, I want more. And so what I do is I go out and I simply move the landmarks, the boundary markers. I move them over a little bit so that I'm able to get more land and take away from this. I mean, what's this guy going to do? I'm the big landowner. He's only a little guy. And so some remove landmarks. And that idea is addressed in Deuteronomy chapter 19. You shall not remove your neighbor's boundary mark, which the ancestors have set. But here, some men, wicked men, are doing that. Wicked individuals who would often do this in order to increase their own possessions. And this man would do it because he could get away with it. Who's going to know? How am I going to be found out? I'm more powerful. I have more things than this poor man over here. Goes on to say, I've seen some that seize and devour flocks. They drive away donkeys of the orphans and they take the widow's ox for a pledge. And then they mistreat the most vulnerable of people. That they seize other people's property. They take from them. You know, as I was thinking about it, in our day, I mean, I don't worry about anybody coming over and taking my ox or my donkey. All right? But I couldn't help but think of phone scammers, you know, that prey on the vulnerable, that try to get things and possessions from others in a deceitful manner. And they make a phone call. I get these. I don't know if it should bother me or not, but it doesn't. But I get these phone calls. The IRS has a warrant out for your arrest. Do you get these? I get these. I mean, the first time you get them, it's almost disturbing. The IRS has a warrant out for your arrest. And I'm thinking, oh man, what's the church going to think? Pastor's in jail. Sorry, he's not here this morning. In order to take care of this matter, please call. Blah, 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 whatever it is. And of course you call. Well, you know, in order to take care of this, you send us, give us your Visa number and we'll take care of the matter. And it's a scam. It's being deceitful. It only shook me once and now I just hang up and say, okay, I'll wait for them to come and get me. All right? Oh, here they come. No, they're not. All right? That's what Job's seeing going on. They prey on the most vulnerable, the orphans, the widows. They take what probably is their livelihood. Not only do they take their property, but the donkey and the ox were probably used to help provide for the family. And they even take them. They push the needy aside from the road. And the poor of the land are made to hide themselves together. The needy people, they have need, but they're sort of pushed aside, you know. Don't come among us. Come on. We don't need your kind here. And they find themselves huddled up, the poor and the needy and the downtrodden. And nobody's there to take care of them. They're just huddled there together. The most powerful are squeezing the poor out of society so that the poor have to hide themselves from the plundering of the powerful. And then verse 9, as we've already read, gives us more details. Here's the saddest of all details. They snatch the orphan. Here's a woman whose husband has died. They snatch the orphan from the breast of the widow. And against the poor, they take a pledge. They scam them. The wicked not only steal from others, but they reduce them to poverty. They're forced to sell their children for slave wages as collateral for a loan. That loan which is needed to live. They snatch property, they snatch livestock, as well as defenseless human beings, the infant. Job looks around and he sees this going on. He sees the reality of what Paul writes about in 2 Timothy 3. These were men who were lovers of themselves, and they wanted to get whatever they could for themselves, even if it means cheating or deceiving or scandalizing others. Even if it means I leave you in poverty, even though I've got plenty. I don't care. I'm going to take from you. I don't really care about you. I only care about myself. I'm a lover of self. And Job sees this going on. There's no thought in the minds of these wicked men about doing good to all men. Jeremiah 17:11 says, "He who makes a fortune but unjustly, in the end will be a fool." That's what these guys were doing. They were becoming prosperous through unjust means, wicked means. And Job, he's looking around, and these guys are getting away with it. And what? God appears to be doing absolutely nothing. Where is God? Why is God allowing this? God is sovereignly in control of all things. God's not caught off guard. Why is this allowed to go on? That's what he's saying. But not only do we have the details concerning the oppression, but we also have the distress of the oppressed. Their distress. Notice verse 5. "Behold, as wild donkeys in the wilderness, they go forth seeking food in their activities, as bread for their children in the desert. They harvest their fodder in the field and glean the vineyard of the wicked. They spend the night naked without clothing and have no covering against the cold. They are wet with the mountain rains and hug the rock for want of shelter." Then to move down to verse 10. "They cause the poor to go about naked without clothing, and they take away the sheaves from the hungry. Within the walls they produce oil, they tread wine presses, but thirst. From the city men groan, and the souls of the wounded cry out. Yet God does not pay attention to folly." So here, Job now describes the distress of these who are oppressed. Job sees these individuals who were made in the image of God, driven out of urban society, disregarded, wandering, lost, like wild donkeys in the wilderness. They're just going around uncertain as to where they're going to lay their head tomorrow, and how are they going to eat, and what's going to become of them. They scrounge around for some food. Where can we find some food? We need food to nourish our bodies. The powerful have plenty, and the oppressed can only glean a little from their fields, verse 6. They lack the bare necessities of clothing and protection. They are wet with the mountain rain. They're wet because they have no clothes. They have no way of taking care of themselves. No coat, no raincoat, no coat, no nothing. And they cleave to the rock as sort of a place of protection. It's almost like they find a cave, and there's where they're going to sleep because they have no home themselves. They are in a state of great distress. Mr. Ash says, "These individuals are destitute because of the selfish greed of the rich and their abuse of power." That's what he sees. These people have plenty, but they're not helping anybody. There are people who are hungry, who need clothes, who need shelter, and they have plenty themselves, but they're not going to extend any hand of help. And God, you're doing absolutely nothing. They seem to be getting away with it. They cause the poor to go about naked without clothing. They even indicate, you know, here are these people, they're working out in the field. But it's not their field. And so they go hungry. They're working at the wine press. But it's not their wine. And so they thirst. People that stand in need of help. And Job sees people that could help them, no problem, but they refuse. Why is these wicked people getting away with these things? God does not pay attention. That's what Job's thinking. God's not watching. God appears to be doing nothing. Well, that's the action of the oppression. But then in verses 13 to 17, Job observes the action of the rebellion. Just plain out rebellion. Job also looks around and takes note of the behavior that is openly rebellious behavior against God. Wicked, evil behavior. These were flagrant breaches of right behavior, even in any culture. Verse 13 tells us they are guilty of rebelling against the light. So in verse 13, we have what I'm calling a generalization of their evil. A generalization of their evil. They do not want to know it, that is, the light's ways. They do not want to know its ways, nor abide in its path. In fact, what they do, the evil that they're performing, they seek to do in secret. Because they know it is evil. Matthew Henry says, those that sin willfully against the conviction of their own conscience. You see, you don't have to set the commandment before men. Do not commit adultery. Be faithful to your wife. A man knows that. A man knows it's wrong to be with another woman. A woman knows it's wrong to be with another man. That's why they have to do it in secret. We know that murder is wrong. It's wrong to take innocent life. That's why men wait till it's dark to do it. A generalization of their evil is they do not want to walk the ways of the light, nor abide in its path. But more specifically, the specifics of their evil. Notice what it says. Look at verse 14. The murderer arises at dawn. He kills the poor and the needy, and at night he is a thief. The eye of the adulterer waits for the twilight, saying, no eye will see me. He disguises his face. In the dark, they dig into houses. They shut themselves up by day, and they do not know the light. For the morning is the same to him as thick darkness. For he is familiar with the terrors of thick darkness. He says this, I look around, And I see that that murders are taking place before the light of day. They do things before light shines upon their deeds because they know them to be evil. Adulterers wait. They wait till twilight. They wait till the sun goes down because they think, I will not be seen. Nobody will know. In our day and age, it could sound like this. I'm going to wait till everybody's out of the house and then I'm going to turn on the computer. I'm going to wait till everybody's out of the house and then I'm going to engage in certain activities. Because then nobody's going to find out. Nobody's going to know. I'm going to get away with this. Job says, you know how they live? They live this way. You know, most of us, we go to bed when it's dark. I mean, what can you do at nighttime? So you go to bed. These guys, they perform their evil deeds in the dark. They look at dark like we look at morning. Man, it's time to go to work. Nobody's going to see me. Because they know the terror that will come because of their evil deeds. I got to be honest with you. When I do ride-alongs with the state police, I try to go in the evening or at night because there's a whole lot of happening during the day. At night, we get all kinds of calls because men think they can hide. And Job thinks, man, I think that's a reality. Because they seem to be getting away with it. They do not know the light. The great deal of scheming of the wicked takes place at night for their evil deeds. In fact, they dread the morning. They dread the light. The morning will expose their evil deeds, so they try to avoid it. So they perform their acts when nobody's looking. Because nobody's going to know. And I'll get away with it. And Job is puzzled because they seem to do it. They're not punished. There's no judgment. But you know, this sort of indicates as well that the wicked live in this constant terror. I mean, the wicked man, the man who is an adulterer, the person who's a murderer, they do go around always wondering, am I going to get caught? I think it was this week in the news, there was some man that was arrested for murders. They say for like 19, 20 murders that's taken place over a long period of time. He finally got caught. But he thought he was getting away with it for a long time. But no doubt that man lived always looking over his shoulder. Is anyone going to see me? Here's a reality. Wickedness has always been in this world. And sometimes we look at our culture and say, man, things are really bad. My friends, they've always been really bad. That's what sin did. It brought wickedness into this world. And men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. And some of us, this is reality. Some of us could be engaged in evil activity that nobody knows about. My parents don't know. My spouse doesn't know. My pastors don't know. I'm getting away with this. And my friends, you may for a while. I quit being a detective a long time ago. When I was young, when I first was in the ministry, man, I thought that was part of my job description. Mr. Detective, I got to find sin out. So I went hunting. I'm going to sniff that out. But I've quit doing that because God will either expose it or He'll take care of it. I don't go looking for it. And could it be? Maybe some of you young people. Maybe some of you children. Maybe some of you adults. Who, if the truth were known, would be ashamed at activity that you're involved in that nobody else knows about. A woman doesn't go home and say to her husband, "Honey, I'm involved in a adulterous affair right now. Just wanted you to know that." No, she keeps it a secret. Has rendezvous where either at night or in darkness where nobody will know. A man doesn't go to his boss and say to him, "Sir, I just want you to know, I've been taking money out of the till." Not much. I mean, just $20, $30 at a time. You didn't see me because I do it when you're not here. That's going on in my life. I just wanted you to know. No, they do it when the boss isn't there, when nobody's around to see, because they think they can get away with it. And Job seems to agree. Why isn't God doing anything? Why is God silent? A student doesn't go to the teacher and say, "Listen, teacher, you know what? I cheated on the test this week. I hid some things. You know, maybe I shouldn't give you any ideas. I wrote on my wrist different answers so that during the test I'm able to look. And I cheated. I just want you to know that because I knew you weren't looking and I knew you probably wouldn't find out. So I want you to know." No, we don't do that. We try to hide. We try to hide our sin. Children don't go to parents and say, "Hey, Mom and Dad, I want you to know that, you know, that jar that you've been throwing your change in for the last several months and it's got quarters, you even threw a couple dollar bills in there. Mom and Dad, I want you to know when you were gone, I just helped myself to, I didn't take it all, just took some of it. But I want you to know because you weren't home, so I got away with it." No, we don't do that. We keep it a secret. Because we think we're going to get away with it. And that's why Job looked around and saw. Look at all this wickedness going on. Murderers, adulterers, and everything else. And yet, God seems to be doing nothing. Well, quickly notice with me. Job observes certain conclusions. Job observes certain conclusions. In verses 18 to 25, in these verses, Job states some definite or certain conclusions to the perplexing reality of this list of evil injustices that seem to go unnoticed by God. These robberies, this oppression, this wickedness that's performed in the dark. And God seems to be doing nothing. And Job's wondering, why is God allowing these evil actions to take place? I don't understand. And Job says, here's some things I conclude. First of all, I believe this is really a difficult passage to try to interpret, but I believe, first of all, Job's first conclusion is this. Well, his friends believe that evil is punished quickly. That evil is punished quickly. Verses 18 to 20. They are insignificant on the surface of the water. Their portion is cursed on the earth. They do not turn toward the vineyards. Drought and heat consume the snow waters. So that Sheol, so does Sheol, those who have sinned. A mother will forget him. The worm feeds sweetly till he is no longer remembered. The wicked will be broken like a tree. Job says, here's what my friends are saying. If you are evil, then God will punish you. God will bring hardship upon your life. Your life will come to an end. You will go to the grave. You will be cursed. Your vineyards will be deserted. Wait a minute. What's Job gone through? He's lost his family. He's lost his health. He's lost his property. And his friends say, this is God's judgment because of your evil. And Job says, that's what my friends have concluded. Just like the snow that will quickly evaporate and soak into the ground during a drought, so the wicked will quickly be gone. They'll be gone to the grave. They won't even be remembered, verse 20. They will come to a sure end. This is the conclusion of my friends. This is why they think I'm going through these difficulties. The second conclusion he reaches is this, verse 21. The wicked is truly cruel. Wickedness is evil. You can write that down if you want. Wickedness is evil. Verse 21. He wrongs the barren woman and does no good for the widow. I mean, he doesn't take care of the needs of others. Here's a woman with no children to protect her and care for her. And they wrong that woman. They take advantage of her. They treat this vulnerable, defenseless woman with brutality. They are evil. There is a thing called wickedness. There is a thing called evil. Now, in our day, it's not politically correct to say that, but that's a reality. There is wickedness all around us. It is sin. It is wrong. And we've got to call it that way. When you murder a baby in a woman's womb, that is evil. When you allow your eyes to look upon things that you ought not to look upon, that is evil. When you cheat somebody and deceive someone in order to prosper yourself, that is wrong. But that leads us to the third conclusion of Job. The wicked will be punished, but not right away. The wicked will be punished, but not right away. Notice what he says, verse 22. But he drags off the valiant by his power. He raises, but no one has assurance of life. He provides them with security, and they are supported. They are exalted for a while, then they are gone. Moreover, they are brought low, and like everything gathered up, even like the heads of grain, they are cut off. Now, if it is not so, who can prove me a liar to make my speech worthless? The meaning of verse 22 is this, that God, that it could be that God will prolong the life of the wicked. They could live for a while. They could go on living even in their wickedness. They do not face immediate judgment. No matter what Job's friends may claim, the wicked are not immediately necessarily judged. In fact, the indication is they'll rise up in arrogance. They walk around and we're getting away with this. Nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to stop me. I'm doing this. And who's going to stop me? I'm getting rich off this. Who's going to stop me? I now rub shoulders with the more powerful. Who's going to stop me? Things are going very well. The wicked have a sense of security. But verse 23 tells us the whole time God knows. God does know. The eye of God is always upon them. And while they may go through a period in which they believe all is well, verse 24, it will not last. It won't. In God's timing, they will be cut off. Mark it down. In God's timing, His judgment will come. Do not think you're going to sin and get away with it. Do not think you can abide in wickedness and never get caught. You will be found out. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? Will he not? God will bring his judgment upon you. Mark it down. And in the end, Job replies with a statement of certainty. Job's convinced that his suffering will be vindicated and the wicked will face judgment. The wicked will be judged and punished. Let me close by simply saying this. Do you ever hear that old saying, hindsight is 20/20? What does that mean? Well, if I knew then what I know now, things would be different. You know, if I knew then that I ought not to pour gasoline on the fire, I probably wouldn't have done it. But nobody told me. I remember when we built a house when I was in first or second grade, and we built this house and the appliances came, and we had always had a gas stove, so there was always a flame. And now we got an electric stove. And we went over to the house to look at these new appliances, and they turned on the stove, and there was this burner that got red. But it wasn't a flame. So you know what I did? I wanted to tell, how does this work? So I put my hand on it. Now remember, I'm in second grade. Nobody told me. I thought you had to have a flame to have fire. You know, on the day of judgment, how many will say, oh, I didn't know. I was living quite well. I was getting away with the things I was doing. I didn't go to jail for what I did. I never got arrested for what I did. It was wrong, but you know, it was not a big deal. I was living quite well. Nobody told me this judgment was coming. Can I tell you now? Listen to me. Wickedness will be punished. Remember the farmer who had a bumper crop and thought he's going to build bigger barns and he's going to eat, drink, and be the rest of his life. It was going to be good. And what happened? He got a message. Tonight your soul is required of you. My friends, sin will be punished. Blessed be God, for many of us, our sins have been punished in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thankful for that grace and that mercy. But for some of you, listen, I want to have a good conscience. I want to be able to stand before God. So I'm going to tell you the truth. If you don't turn away from your sins and run to Jesus Christ, my friends, you may be living well and you may be getting away with things that nobody else knows about. Your parents, your spouse, your pastors. But my friends, your sins will be found out someday. Listen to me. That's a reality. I want nobody here this morning to be able to say, nobody told me. Nobody told me if there wasn't a flame, that burner would still be hot. Nobody told me if things were going well and I was getting away with doing evil, that one day I would still be punished. My friends, you have been warned. It's a reality. And though right now we may not see it, it is a truth. And that's what Job came to realize. And so this morning, the only way you can be forgiven of your sins, the only way not to face the punishment and the judgment of God because of your sins is through Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Let's pray. Father, we now pray that you would take your word and have dealings with hearts where there is still those that are lost in their sins, perhaps somebody who's engaged in activities that if it was found out, there would be the blushing and shame that would come along with that. Oh, Father, may they see they're not getting away with their sin. It will be found out. And even now have dealings with you. Father, we pray that we would be reminded that in this world, it does look like the wicked are prospering. But there's a world yet to come. And therefore, may we be patient, knowing that the judge of the earth will do right. And may we wait upon you and your timing. For your timing is always best. So though we may not always understand, may we always trust and look to you, knowing that you love us and care for us. So Father, take your word and do us good, we pray, as we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.